بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله. Today is the 26th of April in the year 2021. Alhamdulillah, we've already completed the second week of the holy month of Ramadan, being the 14th day. And we've reached verse 59 of Surah Nisa. So inshallah, to spend the session on this blessed verse. So verse 59, A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajeem, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. O you who believe, obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and obey the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and those charged with authority amongst you. If you differ in anything amongst yourselves, refer it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the last day, that is best and more suitable for the final determination. So in this holy verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is talking to the believers. And He says, أَتِيُوا اللَّهَ وَأَتِيُوا الرَّسُولَ. Obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He repeats it, أَتِيُوا الرَّسُولَ. Obey the Messenger. So what was the reason for the revelation of this verse? So there's a few reports. The first is recorded in Sahih Bukhari, number 5484. Sahih Muslim, number 1834. Nasa'i, Tirmidhi, number 1678. Hassan Sahih Gharib, Abu Dawud and Ibn Kathir's Tafsir. Abdullah Ibn Abbas, he recited this portion of the verse 59. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ati'u Allah wa ati'u Rasul wa ulil amri minkum. O you who believe, obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obey the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and those in authority, charged with authority amongst you. He explained. This was revealed in connection with Abdullah ibn Hudayfa radiyallahu anhu, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appointed him as the commander of Asadiyah, i.e. a Muslim unit. So Ibn Abbas, he just gave you very scanty details. He goes, it was due to an incident which took place. And the commander of this unit was Abdullah ibn Hudhafa or Hudhayfa radiyallahu anhu. So what incident took place? Abdullah ibn Hudhafa radiyallahu anhu, he was a Badri and he also was fond of practical jokes. So what happened was, during this expedition, he was the commander. He once said to the soldiers under him, light a fire. And then he said, when the fire was lit, now throw yourselves into it. So the companions looked at each other and they said, it's only from the fire that we have fled. Then this incident was reported back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He revealed this verse. So if you look at the verse, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? O you who believe, ati'u Allah, obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ati'u Rasul, obey the Messenger. But then the ati is dropped. Wa ulil amri minkum, and those in authority amongst you. So this verse is indicating you only obey an amir if he obeys Allah Ta'ala and His Messenger. So note how easily you can miss this. So we obey Allah Ta'ala without question. Why? Because the command is Ati'ullah. We obey the Messenger without question. Why? Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Because the command is Wa'ati'ur Rasul. But when it comes to those in authority, there is no Ati. It doesn't say obey without question. It says Wa ulil amri minkum, and those charged with authority amongst you. Meaning that he said something incorrect and you were right in not listening to him. And this is why there's a hadith in Sahih Bukhari, number 7257. Our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is no obedience if it involves sin. Rather, obedience is only in that which is right and proper. So the Prophet said, you must not listen when you are told to sin. You only listen if you are told to do something which is correct. So this is the reason for the revelation of this verse. But there's another incident. So this is recorded in Ibn Jarir Ibn Asakir Kanz al-Oman. Abu Ya'la Ibn Asakir Nasai Tabalani Hakim relates the hadith in detail from Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu. Ibn Abi Shayba Ahmad al-Nasai reports it briefly in Kanz al-Omal, volume 7, page 73. Hakim in his Mustadrak, volume 3, page 390 states Sahih. Imam Zahibi states Sahih. Al-Haytami in Majma' al-Zawaid, volume 9, page 294 states Tabrani relates it in detail and in brief, and he said it is reliable. Also Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 2, page 456-8 of the English translation. So simply put, the hadith is authentic, but some muhaddis mention it in brief. Some muhaddis mention it in detail. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he relates, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he once dispatched Khalid bin Walid ibn Mughira Makhzumi radiallahu anhu on an expedition. With him was Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu. The expedition left and finally drew close to people who they intended to ambush early in the morning. They set up camp there late at night. To stop in the report. So the Rasulullah sent the expedition out. The commander of the expedition is Khalid bin Walid, the sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the expedition under him is Ammar ibn Yasir, who was a greater companion. They set up camp. They are about to ambush this land. However, someone warned the people about the presence of the companions. Those, they all fled to a place of safety. One of the men amongst them had embraced Islam together with his family, and they stayed behind. He instructed his family to load their goods and told them to wait until he returned. So simply put, all of the habitation left because they were fearful of the Sahaba. But one did not. One family did not. Why did they not flee? Because they were Muslims. So the head of that household, who told his family to stay, he goes, I will go to the Khalid bin Walid. He proceeded and he met Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anhu and said, O Abu Yaqdan, my family and I have embraced Islam. Will this help me if I stay behind? Because all my people have fled when they heard about your arrival. Ammar radiallahu anhu said, yes, you can stay. You are safe. The man and his family then went back. So what happened? The man came and he saw Ammar. He told him, look, we're Muslims. Is it okay if we stay? You know, nothing's going to happen to us. He goes, no, you're perfectly fine. When Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu then launched the attack the next morning, the people had fled. He found this one family, he captured them. Ammar radiallahu anhu thereupon said, you can do nothing to a man who has embraced Islam. Khalid bin Walid then looked in surprise. He goes, what have you got to do with this? I am the Emir. How can you grant a person protection without my permission? Ammar replied, I can indeed give protection without your permission, even though you are the Emir. This man has embraced Islam. If he wished to, he could have left with the others, because he has Iman. I instructed him to stay behind. The two companions then argued until they started using harsh language with each other. So what's happened? The family man, he didn't go to the Amir. He went to Ammar. Khalid bin Walid didn't know about this. So the next day when he went into that area, he captured. So Ammar, because he's embraced Islam. So Khalid realized what happened. He goes, what have you got to do with this? He goes, I'm the Amir. Why have you given permission? And Ammar reasoned with him. He goes, look, the proof that he's sincere is that he hasn't left. If there was any insincerity, he would have left, because he stayed behind. That proves he's a Muslim. But the Sahaba started arguing. When they returned to Al-Madinah, they both went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Ammar radiallahu anhu informed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the whole incident. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then authorized that protection that Ammar had granted He goes, he is in peace. But at the same time, he forbade people from granting protection to others without the permission of the Amir. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said he's been given protection. However, from now on, protection can only be given with the permission of the Amir. The hadith continues. The two companions then started arguing now in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Upon this, Khalid bin Walid said, radiyallahu anhu, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this slave is insulting me in your presence. I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you was not here, he would not have used such terms for me. So Khalid radiyallahu anhu, because he's just recently embraced Islam, he described Ammar as a slave. Why? Because Ammar, his family was belonging to that tribe, Banu Makhzum. But this is Jahiliyyah. So he goes, this slave is talking because he's in your presence. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereupon said, O Khalid radiyallahu anhu, do not harass Ammar, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like anyone who does not like Ammar. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala curses anyone who curses Ammar. Ammar thereupon stood and he left. Khalid bin Walid followed him, grabbed his clothing and continuously made attempts to please Ammar. And Ammar was pleased. Upon this, Allah the Almighty revealed this verse. Obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obey the messenger and those in command amongst you. If you dispute regarding any matter, refer it to Allah ta'ala and his messenger. If you believe in Allah on the last day, this is best, it gives the best result. So look how beautiful the report is. They were both right. It's a case where they were both right. That's why they were arguing. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the judgment. But then Khalid slipped. He called him a slave. And then the Prophet mentioned the rank of Ammar. And immediately Khalid asked forgiveness. And Allah ta'ala revealed this verse. So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in this verse? That you refer all your disputes back to Allah ta'ala and his messenger. And then that's it. The matter is done. So now, if you look at the verse, who is being referred to? Allah ta'ala says, refer to Allah ta'ala and his messenger and those in authority. وَأُولِي الْعَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. So here, there's a few views. There's five views. So the first, this is recorded in Jami Bayan al-Ilm, number 1417, is Hassan, and number 1418, and also Ibn Kathir's Tafsir. Mujahid and Atah, they both said, rahimahumullah, that وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ refers to the knowledgeable scholars of the religion, the ulama. So when Allah Ta'ala says, refer it, obey Allah Ta'ala, obey his messenger and those in authority, Mujahid Atah said, it refers to the scholars. The second view is from Ibn Abbas. This is recorded in Hakim, Ibn al-Mundir, Tabri, Ibn Abi Hatim, Ibn Kathir's Tafsir, and from Jabir, from Ibn Abi Shayba, Abd Ibn Humaid, Hakim al-Tirmidhi, Tabri, Ibn al-Mundir, and Ad-Dur al-Mantur. So Ibn Abbas and Jabir, they both said, it refers to the people of religion and knowledge. The people of religion and knowledge, meaning the people of taqwa and the people of knowledge. Another view is, and this is recorded in Ibn Abi Shayba, Abd Ibn Humaid, Tabari, Ibn al-Mundir, and Ad-Dur al-Mantur, from Mujahid. Mujahid said another view is, it refers to the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who are the people of intelligence, superlative understanding and religion. So Mujahid gave another understanding. He goes, when Allah Ta'ala was referred to those in authority, it refers to the Sahaba, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. A fourth view is, and this is recorded in Abd ibn Humaid and Ad-Dur al-Mantur from Al-Qalbi. It refers to the Khilaf al-Rashideen and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, Hassan and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. This is according to Qalbi. And a fifth view is, this is recorded in Abd ibn Humaid, Tabri ibn Abi Hatim ibn Asakir, Ad-Dur al-Mantur. And it's from Ikrimah. It refers to the two sheikhs, Abu Bakr and Umar, radiyallahu anhu. And all of this is mentioned in Bayhaqi's Ad-Malkhal. So let's look at this. Is there any contradiction? No. All of this are the people of authority. So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Obey Allah. Ati'ullah. Obey the messenger. Ati'ur Rasul. Wa ulil amri minkum. And those in authority. And it refers to, without all the references now, the scholars, the companions, the Khilafah Rashideen, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and the two sheikhs in particular. So all of this is commentary of this verse. So who are the people of authority? But note, you do not follow the people of authority blindly. Because Allah Ta'ala doesn't say, wa'ati to them. Allah Ta'ala only says, ati'ullah, obey Allah Ta'ala without question. Ati'ur Rasul, obey the Prophet without question. But the word ati is taken from the people of authority. Wa'ulil amri minkum. Meaning that these have to be in line with the Quran and the Sunnah. Have you understood? Otherwise, you can make a serious blunder because you have to follow them without question. It doesn't say that in the Quran. It says, وَأُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ. So now, a few of the things mentioned here. If you look at the verse, what does it say? Refer it back to Allah Ta'ala and His Messenger. And then what does Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala say? إِن كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. If you believe in Allah on the last day, meaning if you don't do it, do you really believe in Allah Ta'ala on the last day? Like the Prophet famously said about neighbors in Bukhari Sharif, he who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the last day, let him honor his neighbors or his guests. If you don't, do you really believe in Allah Ta'ala on the last day? The Quran is using the same phrase here. When you have any dispute, refer it back to who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His Messenger, and wa ulil amri minkum. He goes, if you have a problem with that, do you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the last day? Meaning you should submit yourself to this. So here, there's a few things. In Ibn Jarir and Ibn Kathir's tafsir, Mujahid, rahmatullah alayhi, he recited this portion of the verse. فَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ. If you differ in anything amongst yourselves, refer it to Allah Ta'ala and His Messenger, he explained. This refers to the Quran and the Sunnah. So when Allah Ta'ala says, refer it back to Allah Ta'ala and His Messenger, Mujahid and many others said it refers to the Quran and the Sunnah. You refer it back to them. In another report, and also that's recorded in Bayhaqi, in another report, he mentions in Ibn Jarir and Ibn Kathir's tafsir, As-Sudi rahmatullah alayhi, he recited this portion of the verse right at the end. Wa ahsanu ta'wila. This is the best for final determination. Sudi rahmatullah alayhi said this means this has a better end and destination. If you return back to the Quran and Sunnah and ulil amr minkum, you will come to the correct understanding. Ahsanu, Allah Ta'ala says, ta'wila, the best understanding. And also it mentions in Ibn Jarir and Ibn Kathir's tafsir, Mujahid said, it carries a greater reward. Wa ahsanu ta'wila. Another meaning is, you will get a greater reward given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now, there's hadith. In Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim Ibn Kathir's tafsir, our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever obeys me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whoever disobeys me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever obeys my Amir, obeys me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And whoever disobeys my Amir, then disobeys me. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if I appoint an Amir and you listen to him, you're listening to me. If you do not listen to him, you've disobeyed me. So the Prophet is telling you the sanctity of those he appoints. In another report, again recorded in Bayhaqi, Imam Zuhri rahmatullah alayhi said, those who preceded from our scholars, they said, clinging to the sunnah is salvation. Those who preceded from our scholars, even though Abu Bakr ibn Shahab al-Zuhri was from the junior tabi'in, he's talking about the sahaba, he goes, they said, clinging to the sunnah is salvation. Also, our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever obeys the ruler has obeyed me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and whoever disobeys the ruler has disobeyed me. This is recorded in Ibn Abi Asim in his Sunnah, number 1065-8, where there's Sahih chain of transmission. So note, the people of authority need to be respected as long as they obey Allah Ta'ala and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now you get some fruitcakes, and they say, this verse shows that Islam is not complete. So you ask them, how does this verse show that Islam is not complete? So they say, well, it doesn't answer all the problems of life. So Shaykh Maududi Rahmatullah Alayh, in his commentary, he answered this. They say, I the unbelievers, it fails in practical life for the simple reason that there are many aspects of life for which there are no regulations at all from the Quran and Sunnah. So the kuffar attack the Quran because all answers aren't in the Quran. All answers are not in the Sunnah. You won't find it in the Quran and Sunnah. Not every single detail. You'll not find it in the Quran and Sunnah. For instance, do you find anything in the Quran which mentions how much you should charge for the rail fare, bus fare, coach fare? You find anything in the Sunnah which mentions the price of bananas? Because look, your religion isn't complete. So Shaykh Maududi says, Rahmatullah Alayh, this doubt arises because they do not understand the fundamental principle of Islam. Islam allows freedom of action in all things about which the Quran and Sunnah are silent. So where you've got nothing in the Quran and Sunnah, do what you want. Then the Shaykh goes, what distinguishes a Muslim from a non-Muslim is that the non-Muslim claims absolute freedom, but the Muslim considers himself to be the servant of Allah and uses only that amount of freedom which Islam allows. There's the difference. So we Muslims have got freedom to regulate only as much as we haven't got guidance from Allah Ta'ala and His Messenger. Have you understood? Yeah. If there's something from Allah Ta'ala and His Messenger, we've got no say in the matter. But in areas where there's silence, do what you want. The unbeliever does what he wants. He's got no guidance. So that is what the Shariat is. The Shariat isn't putting you into a straitjacket. It's just telling you how to live your life. And what you're silent about, you do what you want. So when people pose the question, what does Islam say about parachutes? What does Islam say about this? You don't need to find a verse or a hadith about every single thing. But what Allah Ta'ala and His Messenger have told us, we abide by that. What there is nothing we are allowed to regulate. Now this is very important. And this narration is very interesting because we learn much from it. This is recorded by Khatib al-Baghdadi and Abu Nu'aym al-Hilya. A man came to Imam Malik, Rahmatullah Alayh, and he said, O Abu Abdullah, where should I put the ihram? So Imam Malik said, Rahmatullah Alayh, Dhul Hulayfa, where Rasulullah put it on. Sallallahu Alayhi Wasallam. Let's stop in the report. So Al-Madina, about 5 miles outside from Al-Madina, or thereabouts, you get Dhul Hulayfa. So the man asked, where should I put my ihram? So Imam Malik said, leave Medina, go to Dhul Hulayfa, 5 miles out, put it on there. The Prophet put it on there. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The man said, but I want to get into ihram from Masjid al-Nabi, near the grave of Rasulullah. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He goes, I'll put it on, you know, next to Rasulullah. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Imam Malik said, don't do this, for I fear you're falling into fitna. So the man looked at him, he goes, Imam, what fitna? I'm just adding a few miles. Imam Malik, look what he said, if only Muslims understood this. What fitna is greater than your thinking you have gone first to do something that Rasulullah failed to do? What fitna is greater than your thinking you have been first to do something that Rasulullah did not do? I have heard that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and he recited this verse, Surah 24, verse 63, Audhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. فليحذر الذين يخالفون عن أمره أن تصيبهم فتنة أو يصيبهم عذاب أليم. Let those beware who dissent from his order, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, lest fitna strikes them or a painful punishment. Subhanallah. So let's look at this. So if I was to ask you, has that man done anything wrong? You would think, no. You know, he's going to do Hajj or Umrah. He just wants to put the ihram on next to Rasulullah, tawaf for him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Imam Malik told him, don't do it. I fear fitna. The man couldn't help ask Imam Malik. He goes, what fitna is there in this? I'm not doing anything wrong. Just a few miles. And what did Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi say? And this is the sledgehammer. He says, oh, so you will be the first to do something that even the Prophet didn't do. You know better than the Prophet. You found another route. He goes, what greater fitna can there be than that? And then he recited a verse. Now look at the verse. You know how interesting. Surah 24, verse 63. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Imam Malik recited. Allah ta'ala says, فَلْيَحْذِرْ Woe to you, beware. Beware of what? Beware of those who يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِ who oppose Rasulullah's order. Then what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? If you oppose his order, أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ fitna. Fitna will strike you. Oh, yusibuhum adhabun aleem, or you will be given a painful punishment. Meaning, by doing what you're doing, Allah Ta'ala is promising two things now. Fitna or punishment. What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? In Imam Ahmad's Musnad Sahih, in Sahih al-Jami number 2831, whoever opposes my order has been disgraced and made inferior. Whoever opposes my order has been disgraced and has been made inferior. So to reiterate, if Allah Ta'ala and His Messenger have detailed something, we've got no say in the matter. If Allah Ta'ala and His Messenger have remained silent about something, then you have got some say in the matter. You can do what you want. If you go against what Allah Ta'ala and His Messenger have instructed you to do, what does Allah Ta'ala promise? Fitna. And how mean fitna now? In lockdown. Think about it. Because you're opposing the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sawu sufufukum la takhtalifu kulubukum. Straighten your rows, otherwise your hearts would differ. Right? Direct command. And one of the mufti said, he goes, Subhanallah, the world has agreed to go against Rasulullah. And what's happened? There you go. What does Allah Ta'ala say? Is he going to break his promise? Fitna. Beware of fitna. We're feeling the fitna all over the place now. And if that's not going to happen, the punishment's going to come. So here again, note, the Quran is giving you guidance. And Imam Malik was actually telling a man who had a good intention. He goes, don't do it. I fear fitna for you. So note again. And what does Allah Ta'ala say in this verse? And again, think about this. Look at how Allah Ta'ala speaks to us, because he knows what's in your heart. He says in this verse, refer it to Allah Ta'ala and His Messenger. Look what he says. In kuntum tu'minuna billahi wal yawmil akhir, if you believe in Allah Ta'ala on the last day. Meaning if you go against it, you have to question yourself. Do you believe in Allah Ta'ala on the last day? Meaning there's something seriously wrong with you. So that's why we always humble ourselves to the commands of Allah Ta'ala and His Messenger. How dare we even speak without going through the command of Allah Ta'ala and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And note, if a person argues with you, you say the command to follow those with authority isn't binding. Because Allah Ta'ala says in this verse, وَأُولِلْ أَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ He doesn't say obey without question. We only obey if they are in line with what Allah Ta'ala and His Messenger have told you. The Quran is telling you the stage. How to apply the command. If they go against the command of Allah Ta'ala and His Messenger, sorry, we don't listen. Because Allah Ta'ala and His Messenger come first and foremost. And if they have an argument to prove their case, put it forward. But have they put it forward? Nothing. Just pure logic. Astaghfirullah. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the understanding. And I will recite this verse and then we will conclude. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. يا أيها الذين آمنوا أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم فإن تنازعتم في شيء فردوه إلى الله والرسول إن كنتم تؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر ذلك خير وأحسن تأويلا.
We pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes the Quran the Rabi of our hearts, and I pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He forgives me for any errors which I may have inadvertently done. سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وأتوب إلى من شأنه سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والأصل الإنسان لفي خسر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات والواصل بالحق والواصل بالصبر صدق الله.